like to thank my colleagues in the last two meetings for leaving me 3 minutes to get this committee done.
Appreciate it.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to confirm the quorum.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Consent calendar, which consists of 2A through 2C. Looking for a motion.
Motion approved.
I got Licaro.
Second.
I got Luce. Motion passes unanimously. Is there anybody objecting to the motion? That's how we do it in Alameda County. Once I get a second and a first, you know, a motion and a second, we just pass it. All right. Any objection to the motion? Motion passed unanimously. 3A, please. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Don't even say anything. No. First of all, under legislative history, the consent calendar will be 2A and B. Okay. And is that okay with the maker of the motion and second?
Yes.
Good. And the second of the motion?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, good. Any objection to 2A and B? Good. We finally got that done. Under legislative history, Randy, I'm sorry I forgot you, even though you told me 5 times.
Well, you're probably distracted by that driving rainstorm win of Mexico 1-0 over Cameroon.
Yes.
Hey,
I didn't want to mention that, but the Spain-Holland game's about getting ready.
It is at noon. If we wait long enough, we can miss that game as well. So, listen, there are two items before you that I want to cover very briefly, given the moment. There are these two colored handouts. We're going to start, if you would, with the one that's in, I guess, pinkish is the best way to start it. And also, I want to start on page 2, which is the page with all the numbers on it. The cap and trade deal came down yesterday as part of the state budget. I think we're going to, in a number of years, looking back, I think we're going to likely be pretty happy with this. Right now, it feels a little bit mixed. I think the first thing to talk about is that this year's cap and trade funding adheres very closely to the administration's proposal. You know, high-speed rail had 250 in the administration's proposal. In this next year's budget, it's 250. Another example is the low-carbon transportation, which is about the fifth one down, was 200 in the governor's proposal. It's 200 here. So this replicates itself almost completely through this entire program. What I would like to do is to try to weave what happened in this year's budget to a longer-term future, where I think this was a very important step. The governor had proposed a one-year deal. What it appears is going to come down is a long-term proposal, which we think is a very good thing. Again, if you work off this sheet of numbers and you go down to the piece that says affordable housing and sustainable communities, and you work your way up from there, those different pots of money is about 60% of all future funds. From low-carbon transportation down is the 40% pot of money. So I'm going to now have you turn the piece of paper over to the front page where you can see the percents. It's really important to understand that on transportation, if you include high-speed rail, it's 60% of the money into the future from not this year but from next year on. And then 40% of the funds will be those other programs. Now, those other programs aren't as set in law as the top 60% is. So that's what this thing looks like architecturally. I want to give you a sense, if we move to the green sheet, what the numbers actually look like. I'm going to draw your attention to the very top of the page, where you can see in fiscal year 2014-15 that column of numbers and compare it to future years. That future year estimate is based upon a $2.5 billion total generation, which most observers think is on the conservative side. Senator Steinberg, when he was pitching his program, had that number doubled to $5 billion. So there's a bit of uncertainty about what that number is going to be. That's a pretty big spread, but the number is likely to be sizable. I'm going to draw your attention down to on the right-hand column under future years to the part that says statewide revenues distributed under the STA formula. You can see it to be $125 million. Just for context, that's about a 33% increase over the base STA program to give you a sense of scale. If the amount is $5 billion, we would have a 66% increase in the STA funds, again, to give you a sense of the scale. You can see the different transit operators here listed and what sort of an expectation they could have with respect to the revenue-based funds. The population-based funds, as you know from your prior actions, is a purview of the commission and decisions that you make. Now, how all this comes down is still somewhat uncertain. This is a very state-centric program. Now, there's a lot of reasons why it came out that way. I think one way to sum it up is the governor was able to achieve his objectives. That's the easiest way to say it. I do think that the issues on the legal side and cap and trade and so forth played into that. Our relationship from the commission and the local transit operators and so forth with the state will be a significant matter as we implement this into the future. As far as policy goes and what all this means, I think what we would probably hold off until we get a better chance to look at it, see the final language as passed, and likely come back to you in a month or so about what this could possibly mean. But I definitely want to give you a sense that something very important is occurring. I think on the transportation side that we were able to achieve, and the housing side, the two subjects you work in a lot, was able to achieve about 60% of this revenue going forward is a significant policy achievement. How it comes down will also really matter on the details, and we need to get back to you on that. Thank you, Chairman Hegarty.
Questions? No questions. Okay. Thank you. Then we'll that's an informational item, so we'll just leave that one alone. Move to 3A.
Thank you, Chair Hegarty. Rebecca Long, MTC staff. AB 1646 by Assemblymember Frazier deals with increasing the penalties for driving while using a cell phone without the hand-free device or while texting. It would raise the penalty for a first offense from $20 to $50. Of course, there's a lot of fees tacked onto that, so it's much higher than just $50. And then from 50 to 100 for a second offense. It also requires that the driving test include examination of the driver's knowledge of the risks of driving while texting or talking on the phone without using a hand-free device, and also would assign a point for doing so. So we think, you know, that this is a very important issue in terms of improving safety of the Bay Area's drivers and of our roads, so we recommend a support position on the bill.
Thank you. Question?
Motion.
I got a motion from McCarl, seconded by Sparing. Any objection to the motion? Motion passes without objection. Item 3B.
AB 2565 by Assemblymember Murat Tsuchi would basically void the terms of a lease that would make it impossible for a renter to install an EV charging facility where they live, or if it's a commercial property where they work, as long as the renter or leaseholder is actually offering to pay for that. So there are, you know, times when that is a barrier, and the landlord is basically saying, no, you can't do it, even though you're offering to pay. So this would make it easier for EV owners to be able to charge their vehicles. And given our goals along these lines and our support of the Experience Electric campaign, we think this is a bill worthy of our support.
Questions? Motion by LaCaro.
Second.
Second by McKenzie. Any objection? Motion passed without objection. AB 2197, item C.
So this is just an information item. Just to let you know, our bill, AB 2197, did die, unfortunately, in the Assembly Appropriations Committee after I got over my grief. We haven't quite thrown in the towel. I mean, we're not going to throw in the towel on this one. We're going to keep at it. But we are still talking with the DMV. Really, the bill did stall because of their concerns. There was a sense that it was going to be very costly. We would take issue with that, but we have a meeting coming up next week, and you know, we will continue to keep you informed. But it is a disappointment. But again, we haven't thrown in the towel quite yet this year.
Okay.
Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this? I remember back when I was a kid, the temporary license plates being put on vehicles. I don't know why this is so difficult, especially in this wonderful, you know, computer age we live in. So I think there's a lot of ridiculous people involved in the opposition of this bill.
Amen.
Anybody else? Is that clear?
You want to incorporate that in the choir?
And you can quote me.
No.
All right, we're going to move on to 4A.
Thank you, Mr. We are exercising all of our discipline not to jump up and down on this one. Jesus. In any event, for MAP 21 reauthorization, I'm going to do this very briefly. Last month, we went through the administration's proposal, Grow America, on this same subject matter. This is essentially the Senate trying to get out there to try to give us a long-term bill. Essentially, it's a stay-the-course bill. It's a 2% increase over a period of time. Sometimes we balk at a long-term bill with that little money because we lock ourselves down into that little money. I think in this case, it's a heavy lift for Congress to find the $100 billion necessary in order to find the revenue over the current revenue streams in order to keep our spending equal with the revenue. So given the situation in Washington, I think our advice to you is a lockdown bill staying the same is probably better than the alternatives that we're living with, which is year to year with a great deal of uncertainty. The MAP 21 bill did get out of the Senate EPW committee, which, by the way, is the highway side. We don't have a transit title, which comes out of banking, and we don't have a revenue title, which comes out of finance. So although to us the policy is the same, they're going to have a big jurisdictional fight over which committee gets to make policy, which is, I think, a good metaphor for the reality we live with in Washington, D.C. This does include a national freight program. It's at a number not too dissimilar to the administration's freight program. This would eventually get up to about $2 billion per year. We like the administration's proposal better than this one. This one includes essentially a highway-only freight program. We really believe it needs to be intermodal. The MAP 21 bill coming out of the Senate does include projects of national and regional significance, which is really a TIGER program, but put into the authorizing language. Whether or not they would be this program and a TIGER program is hard to say. The appropriators, remember, jurisdictional issues, are the ones that have really created the TIGER program. This would kind of do it, give it a new name. Maybe we double down, maybe we don't. The House side, just to give you a sense of proportion, is seeking a one-year deal with just enough money to keep us going, not even for 1 year, through May of next year. There's a great deal of uncertainty about how this is going to go. I think on policy-wise, we mostly like what's coming out of the MAP 21 Senate side. It's not perfect. There are some details we really don't like. I think we're going to keep you informed as this thing proceeds. It's better than the option is, I guess, what I would say to you.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'm really that optimistic out of the House side when Cantor's thrown out because he's not conservative enough. So I'm a little concerned about the direction they're going in the future. I think what I'll do at this point on – were there any questions on this item? What I'll do is leave 4B to your perusal and adjourn this committee.
Thank you, sir.